Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going
to
get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Up, beautiful people, welcome to this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. That's right, you've made it. The end of the week is here, the weekend is near, and we are on the brink of what is going to be one incredible weekend in the world of sports. I mean, folks, I mean, we got NFL football, of course, happening on Sunday, and I'm usually parked in front of my television for at least 7 straight hours, thanks to NFL Red Zone. I can't watch an NFL game throughout its entirety the same, right? unless my Cowboys are good. I mean, if the Cowboys were good, I would be sitting there from quarters 1 to 4 dissecting why my team is so horrible. But with us being so bad this year, I love Red Zone and you can skip around. But you got NFL Sunday happening, right? On Saturday, of course, you got college football taking place. For us here in this state, what do we care about? Michigan State taking on Indiana. Indiana coming off a win over that other team down the road, Michigan. And the Wolverines and Jim Harbaugh will be taking on Wisconsin. And Wisconsin hasn't played the last 2 weeks because of COVID-19 cancellations. And that's a whole other story, right? I'll probably get to that later on the back end of the show and discuss where we currently are in the sports world, because the numbers are steadily going up by the day right now. I mean, we are seeing records be set in our nation when it comes to the coronavirus and cases constantly going up. So many cancellations, so many postponements. I'll get to that later on in the show. But, hey, tomorrow, Michigan State is in action against Indiana at home. And then you've got the Michigan Wolverines taking on the Wisconsin Badgers. And, you know, that's going to be a game that will be at the Big House. So both Michigan and Michigan State, both home. And we'll see if they can get some dubs. You know, both teams in the Wolverines and the Spartans coming off of losses. And then it's a tradition unlike any other. And it's something that I touched upon on yesterday's Current Sports. You know, we've been doing these really cool Throwback Thursday shows each and every Thursday on Current Sports, in which we go back into a show in our archive for that day. And, you know, you guys get to hear other voices other than mine. And me not just interviewing people, right? You get to hear from former engineers Jack Kerwin, Alec Rio, Connor Mathis. Maybe even, you know, we go way back and throw in Isaac Constance, or way back and throw in Alex Sharg, right? Alex, my first engineer when I got the gig here at WKAR. But, you know, yesterday we decided to go into the vault and play an episode from last year. It was the episode of Current Sports that Monday after Tiger Woods had won his 5th green jacket at the Masters. What a moment. I think it's the greatest comeback in sports history. But, you know, that was a moment in which, you know, it was so improbable because of all of the injuries that Tiger Woods had had throughout his career. You know, I mean, he recounts stories of how he couldn't even get out the bed and how, you know, he would crawl to the kitchen and just crawl around the house because he was in such immense pain. But, you know, he goes through these multiple surgeries on his back, including that spinal fusion surgery, which is a really big deal. And he gets back to the golf mountaintop, winning the Masters. And you guys know I'm a huge Tiger Woods fan, huge Tiger Woods fan. And I went nuts. I went nuts, not just watching it on television. And I must admit, I did get a bit emotional, especially after, you know, Tiger Woods, he walks off the green and he gets this huge bear hug from his son. And, you know, he embraces his son, Charlie, and it's kind of like a full circle moment because, you know, when Tiger first won, you know, his first green jacket, he was embraced by his father and, you know, Earl Woods. And Earl Woods was such a major influence on his life. It was, you know, Earl was his best friend. Earl introduced Tiger to the game of golf. And, of course, Earl, you know, he's no longer with us. So for Tiger to win his fifth, to have that moment with his son, Charlie, such a full circle moment. And look, I'm not the only one who got that big lump in his throat, okay? Many of you did as well. But that was just an amazing, amazing moment. And we had such a great time during that show. And I thought it was fitting because, you know, to go back and play that show from last year on yesterday's Current Sports, because we opened up day one of the Masters yesterday. That's right. It usually takes place in April, right? You know, right after March Madness is said and done. You know, you get that double whammy of seeing a college basketball champion crowned, and then you go right to preparing to watch the biggest major, the biggest tournament in golf, in the Masters. And, you know, this year we didn't because of COVID-19. This year was, you know, or is, because it still continues to be, such a wild year for the sports world because of how COVID-19 is having, you know, this profound impact on so many different things, schedules and athletes being impacted by it, you know, testing positive left and right. So, you know, we have the Masters. They had to push it to November. We have the Masters taking place right now. And yeah, it's a bit odd, got to admit. You know, you think it's golf, right? I mean, golf, and I've said this before. I've said that, you know, golf, when it comes to not having patrons there, when it comes to not having a gallery, you know, golf is like, you know, you're quiet anyway, you know, when you're hitting your ball. But when you look at the Masters and the atmosphere that is the Masters, and you have, you know, all these flocks of people, the biggest golf fans in the world attending it, you know, it does something as far as, you know, that blood pressure, that pressure period when you're out there on the tee. You know, you had multiple players talking about how it's just so weird to be here at Augusta National when you hit a big shot and not to hear fans cheering for you or fans reacting to something, you know, and it is a bit different, but it's just good to see golf back on, you know, the television. It's good to see the Masters back on the television and to hear that smooth, velvety voice of Jim Nance. It's awesome stuff. So we'll recap. I'm going to recap what happened in day one and give you some storylines to look forward to in day two. And speaking of Tiger Woods, again, he is the defending champion, winning his fifth green jacket last year. And Tiger Woods had a great first round. A great, great first round. I mean, of historic proportions. And I'll tell you about that and his chances moving forward now as he looks forward to day two. Tiger won't tee off until later this afternoon. I'll give you the time in just a moment, okay? So we'll talk the Masters. We'll talk college football. We'll have Reflection Friday for you guys. And it's been such a busy week here on the show. And I'll give you my highlights and maybe a few stories that I haven't gotten the chance to tackle amongst the current sports madness that has been this week. All right. And you know what? Also, you know, real quick here, again, because, you know, now is the time where I pub our call-in number, even though you can't call in live, but you can call and leave us a voicemail. And some of you have been doing that. Some of you guys have been doing that. And it's been so cool, you know, to wake up on certain days and to hit my email. And, oh, man, a listener called. A listener called. And left us a voicemail. Now I can have a listener on the show. And again, that call-in number is 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We had one yesterday during our, again, it was a throwback show. We've been doing this each and every Thursday, going back into the current sports vault. We had a caller yesterday call in because apparently during that show, you know, I had talked about how Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan are the two most recognizable athletes, arguably, ever. And I got this response from one of our listeners. Take a listen.
Al Martin, I must remind you that there was a boxer named Muhammad Ali who probably has greater worldwide recognition than Tiger and Michael Jordan. I know you're younger than I am, but Muhammad Ali was the most famous and still is the most famous and recognized worldwide figure, more so than Tiger and Michael will ever be. Bye.
And also, I have to remind you guys, first off, what a great call, right? That is an awesome, awesome call. I love when my listeners, you know, give a different perspective than what I have and challenge my thinking and my listeners' thinking. Awesome, awesome call. Thank you so much. But also, when you call, I would like to know who called. So don't forget to leave your name and where you're calling from and where you're from. But you know, that is such an interesting call because, look, I've had this conversation with people before. We've had a few debates here on the show about it, you know, who is the most recognizable athlete of all time. And I've had callers express that same sentiment that Muhammad Ali is the most recognizable athlete ever. And it's not even close. And I would push back and argue because I've thought about this. I think at one time, Muhammad Ali was the most recognizable athlete ever without a doubt, especially when he was in his prime and when he was doing his thing. And even, you know, even after retirement, because of what everything Ali stood for. You know, not only do I believe he was the greatest boxer of all time, but this dude spearheaded the movement that we're seeing now with present day athletes. Athletes like LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Paul, all of the, you know, the basketball players. I mean, then you go to Colin Kaepernick. Then you look at, you know, the Williams sisters in tennis. Using your platform as a big time athlete to shed light on the injustices that are being suffered by people of color everywhere in this nation. Muhammad Ali was amongst the first to do that, folks, as we all know. You know, Muhammad Ali, especially when he decided that, look, I'm not about to go to Vietnam and fight in a war that I don't believe in. I mean, that was a major, major moment. And he's always used his platform to speak up for what he believes is right. And, you know, so with that being said, I mean, Muhammad Ali was, you know, as you know, the LeBron James documentary is so fittingly titled, more than an athlete. Muhammad Ali was more than an athlete, for sure. But you know what? You know, as you know, and rest in peace to the great Ali, the GOAT. But as time passes on, you know, what you'll find is that, and trust me, I know this, I have this conversation all the time because, look, I'm seeing this right now when it comes to who I believe is the greatest basketball player of all time and Michael Jordan. But you know, the younger generation growing up, Gen Z is specifically who I'm talking about. They don't have a memory of these great athletes from our past. They just don't, you know, because they're young and their attention spans are so short. They don't care to research it. Some do. Though I don't want to paint a huge broad brush over the younger generation, but most of them don't. They don't care. And they're interested in the now, the athletes of today. And, you know, Muhammad Ali is like, you know, this figure that they've heard of, but they don't know much about. So as far as Ali's recognition today, it's not what it used to be. Now, the reason why I say Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan are the most recognizable athletes today, alongside probably throw LeBron James up there as well, is because those athletes are so active still. It's amazing. When you look at Michael Jordan, the reason why people know about Michael Jordan and the younger generation, you know, has a reverence for him is because, well, one, you know, he's constantly referenced still today in basketball lore anytime LeBron James does something. You know, and we just saw the Last Dance documentary come out, which profiled his greatness, and a lot of people watched that. It was the most watched documentary, sports documentary of all time. And then, you know, you add into the fact that Michael Jordan's shoes are still the highest selling sneakers. Look, this dude hasn't played since the early 2000s. And people are still sitting in lines to get the latest Jordan retro kicks. I mean, all he does is just slap on a new color scheme and says, hey, they're new. But I love them. Don't get me wrong. I got like three pairs of Jordans. I love them. But kids go crazy for Jordans. And they know who Michael Jordan is still because of his kicks. Still a worldwide brand. So his name is still on the lips and the tongues of so many people everywhere. Worldwide. And with Tiger Woods, I mean, it's Tiger Woods. I mean, he is, you know, one of the most marketable athletes still of all time. And still to this day, he is. You know, you don't see too many brothers playing the game of golf, let alone dominating it. He's just coming off a Masters win. He's still up there as well. One of the most endorsed athletes out there now. He got back on that horse, even after the scandal. So the reason why I say Tiger and Mike are still up there is because they're still active. You know, Ali is you know, he's living on the legacy right now, and he's not really, you know, his legacy isn't, you know, it's not like Muhammad Ali has a clothing line, right? The younger generation doesn't have that same touch and feel that they currently have with Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods. Interesting point, though. You know, Ali, man, you can't dispute that he is. I mean, he's on the Mount Rushmore. He's on my personal Mount Rushmore of greatest athletes of all time. I mean, there's, for me, you know, there's Mike, there's Tiger, there's Ali, and that fourth one, I rack my brain left and right about. All right, but do you agree with our caller? I mean, do you think that Ali is still the most recognizable athlete in the world? Or do you believe it's Tiger? Do you believe it's Michael? Do you believe it's LeBron? Do you believe that it's a name that I'm not bringing up? I mean, you can bring up Lionel Messi because soccer is the most popular sport in the world, right? You know, is it a name that I haven't brought up yet? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Love when you guys call and leave us a voicemail and spark different conversations. Absolutely love it. You can tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. You know what's next, though. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Okay, let's start here, folks. Very important stuff going down this weekend, tonight. Here's a look at the schedule for the district finals involving football teams from Greater Lansing. Division 1, Regional 1, District 2, Holt will be at Saline, 7 p.m. tonight. Holt sitting at 4-3, Saline is 7-1. Again, district finals happening, folks. I mean, hardware will be given out tonight. Division 2. Portage Northern at East Lansing tonight, 7 p.m. Division 3, Mason at DeWitt tonight, 7 p.m. And Mason and DeWitt, a battle of unbeatens, both at 8-0. When it comes to Portage Northern and East Lansing, Portage Northern is 7-1. East Lansing is 7-0. In D4, you've got Battle Creek Penfield at Williamston. Penfield at 5-3, Williamston at 7-1. Again, 7 p.m. tonight. All of these games are 7 p.m. tonight, with the exception of an eight-man football game taking place tonight. I'll get to that in just a moment. D5, Olivet at Lansing Catholic. And then you've got Corunna at Frankenmuth. D7, Bath at New Lothrop. And Olivet is, I'm going to give these records too, just to give you an idea of maybe who is the favorite entering these matchups. But Olivet is 7-1, Lansing Catholic at 6-2, Corunna 5-3, Frankenmuth undefeated at 8-0, Bath at 5-3, New Lothrop at 7-0. To Division 8, Carson City Crystal at 5-1 will be at Fowler, who is 6-2. And then you've got 8-player D1. This one is still 7 p.m. Friday tonight. Adrian Linaway Christian at 8-0 will take on 8-0 Morse. And this is the only game that's on Saturday. This will be a Saturday game at 2 p.m. Cologne at Portland St. Pat. Cologne is 7-1. Portland St. Pat, 8-0. And I don't know if I'm saying that right. Is it Colin? Cologne? It's C-O-L-O-N? I don't know. Tomato, tomato. no disrespect to the people of that area. But I would like to know how to pronounce that correctly. I should have looked that up. But anyway, all right. So those are your district final games. And again, you know, thoughts to two teams that if it was not for COVID, they would have been playing tonight. But we brought to you that story, this story, earlier this week. Portland and also Pomona Westphalia. Two teams led by Jeremy Miller of P-Dub and John Navarra at Portland. Two teams that had made it to the district finals but had to forfeit due to coronavirus concerns and positive tests. So two teams that will not be participating are the Red Raiders and the Pirates, and just tough stuff, right? This year has just been wild. Stay safe, all right? Okay, yesterday we also learned the latest Michigan State men's basketball class, as the Michigan State men's basketball team has received signed national letters of intent from Jaden Akins, Pierre Brooks, and Max Christie. Akins from Farmington, Michigan, Ypsilanti Prep Academy, Pierre Brooks from Detroit, Michigan, Frederick Douglass Academy, and Max Christie from Arlington Heights, Illinois, balling out at Rolling Meadows. Now, MSU has the nation's number 6 class, only trailing Michigan's 6 commits among Big Ten schools, according to 247 Sports. Swingman Imani Bates, still waiting on him. That's Akins' current teammate, actually, at Ypsilanti Prep. And also forward Enoch Boyeki, who might reclassify and join the trio that signed on Wednesday. Bates is the number 1 player overall in the 2022 class, and Boyeki is the number 1 Canadian prospect and number 36th overall, according to 247 Sports' composite rankings for 2022. So we'll see what happens with Imani Bates and Enoch Boyeki. Will they still, you know, say, hey, we're coming to East Lansing and we want to play for Tom Izzo? Or, especially in the case of Bates, I mean, I don't know what he's going to do. I mean, will he go to the pros? And, you know, if the rule still isn't in place for him to play immediately in the league, you know, will he go play overseas somewhere for a year? Maybe he goes to the G League for a season. We just don't know. We don't know. So we'll see what happens there. Also, let's show some love to the ladies. Michigan State women's basketball head coach Susie Merchant announced the signing of 4 national letters of intent on Wednesday, including Demaya Hageman from Detroit, Michigan, Detroit Edison Public School Academy, Iseline Alexander from Ontario, Brooklyn Ruers from Idaho, and Lauren Walker from Georgia. Hageman is the star of the class and is regarded as a 5-star prospect, ranked as the number 23rd player overall in the 2021 class by ESPN's Hoop Girls. She is the first 5-star landed by the Spartans since Sydney Cooks, who was a McDonald's All-American signed a part of the 2017 recruiting class. So that is a major, major get for Susie Merchant and her team. All right, as we all know, Michigan State football will look for its fourth straight win over Indiana, as the Spartans will take on Indiana, which is the number 10 team in the nation. That game will take place tomorrow at noon at Spartan Stadium. The broadcast will take place on national television on ABC. You've got Dave Pesch, Greg McElroy, and Holly Rowe on the call. MSU was 1-2, fell at Iowa last Saturday 49-7, while Indiana, sitting at 3-0, defeated Michigan 38-21 in Bloomington last week. The Hoosiers have won their first three Big Ten games for only the fourth time in school history, and for the first time since 1988. How about that? And 1993 was the last time that Indiana won four games in a row in the Big Ten, and that fourth win was against, check this, Michigan State. So let's hope history does not repeat itself, right? MSU is 10-10 in the last 20 games against AP top 10 teams dating back to 2011. The Hoosiers are 3-0 again, and that is a record you look at and say, this team is serious. So Indiana, MSU, noon at Spartan Stadium, ABC. Also tomorrow, you've got Michigan taking on Wisconsin at the Big House in A Squared. That game is on ABC. Michigan sits at 1-2. Wisconsin is 1-0. Wisconsin is set to play for the first time in 3 weeks, trying to pick up where it left off in a 45-7 win over the Fighting Illini of Illinois. The Badgers' previous two games were canceled due to, you guessed it, COVID-19, an outbreak. All right? So there you have that. Michigan, Wisconsin, Michigan State, Indiana, the Big House in Spartan Stadium, folks. All right, Big 12 commish Bob Bowlesby. He told Sirius XM Radio on Thursday that there had been discussions about actually delaying the college football playoff and the New Year's Six Bowls because of the coronavirus pandemic. This is what Bowlesby had to say. Quote, I am on the CFP Operations Committee, and we spent some time talking about that. We have not come to any closure on it. But there is some latitude to postpone it if that need should arise. He also added, quote, the same is true with some of the New Year's Six games. I don't know if I see us playing a championship game in February, but you just never know. These are unusual times, and things that might not otherwise be acceptable have been and have to be considered in this kind of circumstance. And look, you know, he is very, very right. You know, we are seeing these numbers continually go up, and we are seeing college football teams having to cancel games, and it's just a mess right now. It really is a mess. So the powers that be in college football are certainly scrambling right now. And look, the only reason we're seeing a season right now is due to that TV moolah. At least they're collecting some of that, I guess, right? Okay, potential number one NBA draft pick LaMelo Ball yesterday reportedly conducted a workout in front of three more teams in Southern California. Ball worked out in front of head coaches and execs for the Detroit Pistons, Golden State Warriors, and Charlotte Hornets. The workout was the second that Ball has held prior to Wednesday's draft next week. The Pistons own the number 7 pick, the Warriors have the number 2 pick, and the Hornets have the number 3 pick. Recently, Ball's father, LeVar, who is always, always making headlines, LeVar said he wanted the Pistons to take his son. So on Wednesday, again, you know, having this private workout during the pre-draft process with the Minnesota Timberwolves also, who have the number 1 overall pick. He went through a variety of shooting drills, reportedly, and other exercises to test his ball handling and conditioning, and seemingly perform well, according to sources. So he's 19 years old, widely projected to be a top 3 pick, but the inclusion of the Pistons at the workout could indicate that the organization is interested in possibly trading up to take him. The Pistons have been rumored into wanting to make a trade and may go all in to get Ball. And look, from the simple fact that this would create buzz around this franchise that I love dearly. You guys know the Detroit Pistons are my favorite team and have been since I was a little tyke. Just for the from the simple fact of creating buzz and getting people excited to watch this team because they've been unwatchable for a long time, I wouldn't have any problem with them taking on Ball, who is not just a guy who can generate some excitement for your ball club, but is a guy who can actually ball. You know, watching those international games, LaMelo may be the best player out of the Ball brothers. All right? Okay, and day one at the Masters, the 84th playing of the Masters began around 7 a.m. yesterday. I actually set my alarm to wake up and watch a Tiger Woods tee time after 7 a.m., and then I turned on the television to realize that, oh boy, we are on a weather delay. Yes, it was a three-hour weather delay that forced players to do what they've done all season. And that's wait. So Tiger Woods, defending champion, he finished with an opening round score of 68 that tied his lowest career score at Augusta National on Thursday. Again, that matches the best day one score at Augusta of his career. It's amazing. So Woods, for the first time in his career, he had a bogey-free opening round. He ended the day 4-under, tied for fifth place, in prime position to make some movement as we move along now to day two of the Masters. Now, the lead is held by journeyman Paul Casey. That, of course, can change by the time you hear this. I'm pre-recording the show, as you guys know. So by the time you hear this, at 1 p.m., that leaderboard may have shifted a bit. But as I speak right now, the lead is held by Paul Casey after round one, 43 years old. He continues his quest for a major title. His opening round, 65, was good enough for a two-shot lead ahead of Justin Thomas, Webb Simpson, and Xander Schauffele at 7-under par. So we'll see what happens. You guys know I am a golf nut. I am a Tiger Woods fanatic. And I'm going to be glued to my TV every stroke, every hole, watching Eldrick do his thing as he tees off a little after 2 p.m. today. All right. So that will do it for your current sports quick hit headliners. If you would like to be a part of the show, again, call in and leave us a voicemail, just like my man 50 Grand did at the beginning of the show. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number that you call. You wait for that dial tone to introduce the voice message prompt and leave us a voicemail. Real simple there. And I get it right to my email. Weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News. Tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. Tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's hit this first break. When we come back, I'll tell you what to watch for day two of the Masters. And I'll briefly touch upon Michigan State, Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin. You'll get my thoughts and predictions for those two games. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Happy Friday to you guys. I know that, you know, we aren't seeing, you know, temperatures in the 70s like we saw last weekend and leading into the beginning of this week. But hey, you know, at least there's not that S word floating around outside, right? I'm enjoying this. You know, temps in the 30s today, you know, a bit of a cloudy day. And one of those days, you just stay inside, stay cozy, and get work done. Be productive, all right? Oh, and watch the Masters. Watch sports, okay? So, and speaking of the Masters, just a few things to look forward to in day two, because this is going to be exciting. You know, the Masters are always exciting because it's the Masters. It's a tradition unlike any other. and it's the biggest major of the golf calendar, and we have all been anticipating it since it got postponed earlier this year due to the coronavirus pandemic. So a few things to keep an eye on today. You know, can Paul Casey, I'm really curious to see if Paul Casey can continue that momentum of a fabulous opening round of 65 yesterday. You know, that was 16 shots better than how he started a year ago. He had an 81 in 2019 after day one of the Masters, and it you know, his quest, you know, for a green jacket ended before it began. But 7 under par on Thursday, he's in the driver's seat now. You know, can he win his first major title at 40-plus years old? He has played in 64 career majors. Just to show you, you know, when people look at Tiger Woods' career, you know, when they look at what Jack Nicklaus was able to do, you know, it is so tough to win one major, let alone the amount that, like, Jack and Tiger have won. It's crazy, right? But Casey has played in 64 majors and probably is the most accomplished golfer, or at least one of, you can't argue that, one of the most accomplished golfers without a major title. So, you know, can he finish this thing? Can he go the distance? And will Justin Thomas stay hot after a quick turnaround? You know, that's a big question. You know, he made the turn at 32 and added another birdie at 10. That's before officials blew the horn at Augusta National. And he resumed his first round early this morning and then began round two shortly after. So we'll see what JT can do. And, you know, the other golfer that we're all looking at, as we all are every single time, you know, he puts on that polo and goes out there with his clubs, is Tiger Woods. No, can Tiger Woods play consistent golf, put up a number close to what he put up in round one, in day two, and continue that momentum throughout the weekend to put himself in position when he throws on the red polo come Sunday to try and win and defend his green jacket from 2019? Wouldn't that be exciting? I mean, it's always exciting watching Tiger play when he's in contention, right? So a few things to look at in day two. We'll recap it, of course, all come Monday. All right? But college football talk here. Michigan State. Oh, Michigan State football. If you are a fan of Michigan State football, I think that by now you've gotten over it, right? You're still a bit puzzled. You know, I was at the barbershop yesterday talking to my barber about this. And, you know, we're sitting up there after we finish catching up. We start to talk sports like you do in a barbershop. And we were just sitting there just a bit puzzled. Like, how do you go out there and handle Michigan the way you did at the Big House? And then turn around the following week and you resemble nothing of the team that you looked like the week before. You know, and that was such a weird Saturday, you know, waking up and we found out the result of the presidential election. And I'm like, all right, I'm trying to follow that news, but I'm also, working and following the game. And then, you know, Iowa just started scoring one play after another, and that game quickly got out of hand. And Spartan fans, I could just see you guys on Twitter just so frustrated, said, I can't take this anymore. Let me just turn the TV off. It was a beautiful day too. Turn the TV off, go for a walk, get outside, or watch what's happening on my television when it comes to the results of this presidential election. So, but how do you do that? I mean, you have that kind of performance that you have against Michigan, where you are a 20-plus point underdog, and you stun the college football world. But we're also seeing that Michigan isn't that great of a college football team. But then the following week, you have that output against Iowa. And as I stated at the beginning of this week, the face, the demeanor of Mel Tucker during Saturday evening's post-game press conference after that molly-whopping against Iowa, that's the first time that we have seen Mel Tucker angry in a press conference. He was fuming. He was very close to turning red. It was getting there. It was getting there. That bald head of his was like a maroon, You know, not full red, but it was getting the blood red. Maybe if he talked to us, you know, maybe 5 or 10 minutes longer, he would have got there. And he talked about, you know, preparation, and he hammered home execution and doing little things, and how there's pressure now. How do you respond to pressure? You know, that famous saying, you know, pressure either busts pipes or makes diamonds. It can make diamonds, but you got to respond to it a certain way. And we're going to see how Michigan State responds. They responded great against Michigan after that really bad loss, opening season loss, to Rutgers. So now you have another embarrassing loss, this time against Iowa. Can you respond against Indiana? And this is going to be tough. Look, after Rutgers, you played a Michigan team that doesn't look great. That is a Michigan team that looks horrible. I mean, Indiana, which had beaten Michigan 24 straight times. You know, that is a streak that had been well documented. That has been well documented in college football. Indiana had beaten, had fallen to the Wolverines 24 straight times heading into that game. And they go out there and they get the dub. They snap that losing streak. Let's move on. Michigan is horrible. Jim Harbaugh, his seat is flaming now. And he's not going to last too much longer in Ann Arbor, I don't believe. I think it's reaching that boiling point now. It's boiling. The pot was hot. It's boiling now. So, you know, responding after the Rutgers lost to Michigan is turning out to be, you know, looking back at the game, it wasn't as daunting of a task as we thought it was, because Michigan is not a great football team. But Indiana is a different beast. Indiana is a different beast. This is a top 10 football program, folks. Top 10. Indiana ain't playing around. Undefeated with a chance to go 4-0. This would be the first time that they go 4-0 if they do beat Michigan State. It would be the first time they've done that since the 90s. And they got win number 4 in the 90s in conference play against Michigan State. So that's why I say, you know, history, let's hope history doesn't repeat itself. But, you know, a few question marks for me when looking at that game. You know, Rocky Lombardi, I was singing his praises leading into the Iowa game, and he goes out there against Iowa and throws 3 picks, does not look like the same player. Can he rebound? Can Rocky Lombardi rebound? Because if he can't, I think we are going to see some other quarterbacks behind center on Saturday. But the issues are larger than Lombardi. When you look at that game, you know, the offensive line got pushed around. You know, and that defensive pressure led to Lombardi making some sporadic decisions. And he's going to be made uncomfortable again, because Indiana is a great football team and they get pressure in the backfield. You know, but Lombardi missed on a lot of throws in the last 3 quarters. Can he rebound? MSU's defensive line, can they get some push? Can they disrupt what Iowa is trying to do? You know, the D-line wasn't a factor against Rutgers. And at Iowa, you could see right away that Michigan State was in trouble and getting pushed around. The game is won in the trenches. Can you win the battle of the line of scrimmage? And, you know, if you're getting pushed around, it's hard to get your run game going, you know, to find gaps for your running backs to run through, and your quarterback doesn't have time to make something happen. So can you win the battle in the trenches? And that defensive line, I want to see MSU's defensive line get some push. You know, the Hoosiers aren't running over teams. That's not who they are. This is a better matchup, I think, for MSU's defensive line than a week ago. Indiana doesn't have some kind of world-class offensive line that provides protection. You can get back there. Jaden Reed, you know, he caught 11 passes against Rutgers in that opener. He has caught just 2 passes since. I mean, Jaden Reed and all the hype about him, you know, coming in, I want to see Jay Johnson work to get Reed involved early. I think he's a very athletic player. You know, he can make things happen if he's got his hands, his paws on the pigskin. But I think he's one of those guys you got to get involved early so he feels engaged. And also, you know, looking at Indiana, you know, we'll see if they are legit as the season rolls along, and we'll see how they look against Michigan State. You know, this is a team that's in the top 10 right now, you know, undefeated. You know, Michael Penix Jr., great player. WAP Fillior. I love that. I love that first name. WAP. He's great. Running back Stevie Scott. Yeah, that's an offense that really picked apart Michigan State last year. And I think they're better this season. But MSU secondary, they got to show up, man. And then the injury problem as well. I brought up the injury problem for Michigan State earlier this week. You know, Rocky Lombardi not able to extend throws down. Well, no, he was able to throw down the field, but it was just the accurate throws, you know, 10, 15 yards. He was inaccurate on those throws. And I think, you know, something's bothering him. Antoine Simmons, who had been, you know, he's been so brilliant in the first, you know, 2 weeks. And he was relatively absent and is one of the leaders of that Michigan State defense. He has to show up. So, you know, Indiana isn't putting up some obscene offensive numbers. You know, the Hoosiers are winning because their defense has been able to hold up against teams like Penn State and Michigan, get the ball back to their offense so that weapons like Penix Jr., Fillior, and Scott can do what they do. Indiana has 7 interceptions this season, 8 sacks, both second most in the Big Ten, and also it is +6 in turnover margin, which tops the conference. Listening to that, Spartan fans, you know what Michigan State has to do. You must protect the football. You cannot turn over the football against Indiana. So how do you respond? I think that Michigan State is going to make this closer than they did last week. Mel Tucker, just something about that post-game press conference. He's making sure his troops are ready out the gates. This will not be an embarrassing loss, but it will still be a loss. Indiana 31, Michigan State 21. As far as the Wolverines go, and because of time, I can't really elaborate further on this. But, you know, Wisconsin looked great in the opener. They're 1-0. They haven't played the last 2 weeks because of COVID-19. But Illinois is really bad. Can they just pick up where they left off after not playing for, 2-3 weeks? You know, Michigan ran the ball well in the opener. But, you know, offensive coordinator Josh Gattis, you know, he's asked first-year starting quarterback Joe Milton to throw 85 passes the last 2 games. No running attack. That's a very poor decision. Where they run the ball more? In the end, though, I just don't think this is a great Michigan football team. Michigan will lose this game. I'm going Wisconsin 27, Michigan 17. All right, that's my prediction there. I just don't think this team is that great, and they can't compete against Wisconsin. They'll compete. They'll make it close, I think. You know, I guess that score I just predicted, you know, is close. But Michigan continues to lose, and the seat gets hotter for Jim Harbaugh. All right, final break. When we come back, I'll give you my final thoughts on Reflection Friday to end this week on current sports. You are listening to the Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, final thoughts on the week that has been here on Current Sports. A brief wrap up. It's been an amazing week. My favorite part of the week, interviewing the great Maya Washington. If you did not get a chance to check out Through the Banks of the Red Cedar, profiling how Duffy Doherty broke racial barriers in the world of college football, spearheading a movement You missed out, folks. It aired nationally on the Big Ten Network. Maya is the daughter of Gene Washington, Michigan State famed wide receiver, an unreal filmmaker. And, hey, if you missed it, you didn't DVR it, there's a chance that you may see it two more times before the year ends on the Big Ten Network. Okay, that's my favorite moment of the week. And the Masters being back. And it was great to look back yesterday at that show from a year ago in which Tiger won his fifth green jacket. We'll see if he can do it this weekend. All right, folks. But I all want you to be safe, be smart, and as always, be easy, people. Much love.